the rewards are so much greater than the trials. I will tell you, there is nothing better than seeing your child learn to read, the rewards of struggling for months to learn a concept, and then all of a sudden they get it. There is no greater reward. And that goes for typical homeschooling, and even more so, I think it's magnified when you're homeschooling a child who's struggling.
Welcome to the Homeschool Compass podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. This show is all about finding confidence in community and help in the wisdom of those who've gone before us. Today, I'm talking with Beth Corcoran. Beth lives in Oklahoma with her husband and her 8 children, and she's been homeschooling for well over a decade. Beth is passionate about supporting and equipping other special needs homeschooling families. And even if you're not homeschooling a child with special needs right now, I know you'll get a lot out of what Beth has to share. So thank you for being here, and please enjoy my conversation with Beth. Thank you so much for joining us today, Beth. It's really great to talk to you.
Amy, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Would you start by telling us a little bit about your homeschool story, how you got started with homeschooling, and maybe some of the special needs that you've run into along the way?
Sure. So my name is Beth Corcoran, and my husband's name is Curtis, and we live in Oklahoma, and we became accidental homeschoolers. I would say this is our 13th year homeschooling, and we've adopted all 8 of our kids. And we adopted a sibling group with 3 kids, and they were very behind academically. They were 4, 5, and 6 at the time, but we were still working on some pretty basic things. And we also really wanted to focus on bonding with them. And we were thinking, you know, if we put them in public school, then they're going to go bond with those teachers and not with us during the day. So we decided that we wanted to homeschool. And that was kind of a radical thing for us because I'm a certified teacher, and I had all these ideas. I did my student teaching in the public schools. I had all these ideas that I was going to be a public school teacher and kind of be on my kids' same schedule. And that did not pan out at all. So we started homeschooling, and very quickly it grew on me. We had a lot of people at our church who were homeschoolers, and I had a lot of resources available to me. So I started learning a lot about homeschooling. And what was the original reason for homeschooling was to help my kids catch up and to bond with them has turned into, over the years, myriad reasons to homeschool. I feel like every year I get more and more reasons to homeschool. And so now I've homeschooled at some point all 8 of my kids. Right now I've got 2 oldest are adults or almost adults now. My oldest daughter is 19 and she lives on her own. And then I have 18-year-old, well, soon to be 18-year-old, and he just graduated from high school. And then, so my oldest that I'm homeschooling right now is a junior in high school, and then all the way down to my youngest is a 2nd grader. I've got kids who are severely dyslexic and dysgraphic as well. So writing is a very big challenge. Reading has been a very big challenge. Dyscalculia, so math is a challenge for some of my kids. We have some auditory processing issues. I have a child on the autism spectrum. We have a couple kids who have suspected fetal alcohol effects of some sort. They're on the FASD spectrum, I'm assuming. So a lot of working memory issues. We have a child with Down syndrome. We have some kids with sensory issues. I have one son who was born addicted to several substances. And so he's got a lot of sensory things. And then I also, on top of that, have this whole beast. And I think if people are listening, they understand, but the beast of adoption trauma as well. It's a really big thing that affects a lot of learning as well. So we have all kinds of things going on in our home that we've had to work around. And so because of all of that, homeschooling is wonderful for us because I'm not sitting in IEP meetings all the time, and I can really customize school for them and what their needs are. So yeah, that's kind of how we started and what we're doing right now.
Thank you so much for sharing all that. I know you are the host of the Flamingo Feathers podcast, which is one of my favorite homeschool podcasts to listen to. And you talk all about special needs homeschooling. But I think sometimes people can be a little confused about what we mean by special needs. Can you kind of share from your perspective what that entails and how people can know if that is a term that applies to them?
Sure. So, you know, as I was thinking about this, I think that the term special needs, it goes in and out of favor with people. And, you know, I will say this, I want to communicate that we want to respect people. We want to share, you know, give people the dignity that they deserve. At the same time, vocabulary is constantly changing. It's a constantly evolving thing. And so what terms are in vogue at one point, they're constantly changing. And so sometimes special needs is considered a derogatory term. Please understand if that's a term that you don't enjoy, it's not coming from a place of ignorance, and it's not coming from a place of, you know, trying to talk down to somebody. It's just a term that we use to try to kind of as a catch-all. And so some people prefer the word disability, things like that. So the idea, though, in general, when I use the word special needs for my podcast, I'm talking about anybody who has some sort of learning difference, some sort of need that would make a normal school setting inappropriate for them. And so that could mean a physical disability. It could mean that I have a son with Down syndrome, for instance, but it could be a learning disability as well, such as dyslexia. Dyslexia is not served well in the schools. So it could mean a lot of different things. So basically, when I say special needs on my podcast, I'm talking about anybody who has a learning difference or a concern that maybe something needs to be modified for them so that they can really grasp what's going on and they can really flourish.
That makes so much sense. And what are some of the benefits that you've seen as far as homeschooling in the way that it allows you to meet those needs differently than maybe a public school setting would?
So let's just start with the obvious. And I think a lot of people in this last year have seen a lot of these obvious things because of the pandemic and everything, looking for, you know, health and safety, right? Obviously, if your kids are not in a environment where there's a lot of people around, they're probably going to be a little bit healthier, not bringing home all the germs. So that has been, you know, if you have a kid who has, you know, is immunocompromised or something like that, that is a very big concern, and that security. So if you have a kid who just feels insecure about a lot of things, there is a lot of security by staying with your family and homeschooling in a smaller level. Obviously, there's a lack of bullying. So if you're at home, your kids hopefully are not getting bullied the way that it's a risk at public school. So those are some of the obvious things I think people can see. We spend so much time with our kids. We are the expert on our children and what they need. Does that mean that we can meet all of their needs personally? I don't think so. I think we have to have resources available to us, but we can see what is needed. We can go to the therapist and say, hey, I've seen X, Y, and Z happening at home. How can I help that? And so that's a really big thing. And so I think what I hear from a lot of my listeners and from people I know personally who homeschool their kids with special needs is that homeschooling has allowed them to flourish in a way that they never were able to do in a traditional school setting. And I think that's the biggest thing is we're trying to give our kids the best education that they can get. And sadly, in a lot of schools, maybe there's a focus on, for instance, with people like my son with Down syndrome, there might be just a focus on life skills only. But my son is learning to read, and I don't know, but they may not have been working with him on that in school. So being able to give them the best education possible, and especially, you know, the public school teachers and the special ed teachers that I have known, they are very loving. They are very caring. They are very well-meaning, but their hands are tied in a lot of ways. And so they cannot individualize things, and they may really want your child to succeed, but they don't have the ability to make that happen because of the size of the class or regulations, things like that. So we can bypass all of that by bringing it back into our home. And you don't have to sit through IEP meetings all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we hear all the time about how great homeschooling is because you can tailor make an education to your child. And when special needs are involved, it seems like that would be all the more relevant that you don't have to be in a system where they're constantly being compared to some standard that might not even be relevant to them. Mm-hmm. But you can look at that unique child that God has given you and help them move forward little by little. For someone who is just maybe dipping their toes into this world, maybe they have just gotten a new diagnosis or they're starting to realize that they might need some additional supports and it's all kind of overwhelming. Do you have any recommendations for them just with starting out with homeschooling?
So the first thing, if you just got a diagnosis, I would look into local support groups. And there are plenty of their support groups for all kinds of things, learning disabilities, physical disabilities, all of that. There, you can probably find something nearby you, unless you just live out in the middle of nowhere. But in that case, that's when Facebook and social media is really awesome, because you can get connected in those ways. Follow, like on Instagram, follow the hashtags for whatever your child's diagnosis is. And you can really find a lot of support that way as well. And so that would be my first thing to do, is just find support for your child's diagnosis so that you can get to understand what you're facing, and maybe some solutions. Like if you have a child who just got diagnosed with dyslexia or auditory processing, maybe you could get some ideas on how to modify things, or what curriculum works, like Horton Gillingham type reading curriculums, things like that. So that would be the first thing I would do. Also, get involved with local homeschooling groups. They're all over the place, at least around here where I live. There's so many homeschooling groups. Get involved, pick brains of other homeschool moms, ask them what works for them, because I guarantee you're not alone. You're not the only one who is, maybe you, your child has some very rare condition. Maybe you're the only one, but you're not the only one homeschooling children with special circumstances. So find a homeschooling group around, get to know the people, go on play dates, go on field trips with them, and then even consider joining a co-op. That's something that has been a real blessing for our family. And I actually did an episode on finding a good co-op that will serve your child's needs. And they're out there. We've found one that will really include our son, especially with dyslexia, things like that. That's an issue, but also with Down syndrome. And so we found a co-op that it fully embraces our son. Their teachers are willing to modify the curriculum. You just do whatever it takes to help them to be successful in their classes. And so they're out there. And that would be a very big support as you're just navigating. If you're just getting into homeschooling, find those people, find your tribe out there, because they're out there and you don't need to walk this alone and you don't need to be afraid of it.
That's such great advice. Yeah. I feel like often people are in this rush to figure out, what am I going to do for curriculum? And they're searching, I've got to find the right
sure.
products to use. But I think it's really helpful to just pause on that instinct and take some time to find people who are going to walk alongside you, and let the curriculum kind of come in second to that, because the relationship with your child and your confidence and your well-being as a family really is the place that you want to solidify first before you start adding in curriculum pieces.
Because homeschooling isn't just about books. It's a culture. You're building a culture. And I love it, because I'm part of lots of different Facebook groups that are targeted towards different special needs homeschooling, or maybe my local homeschooling groups. And there's always the person that gets on and is like, okay, I decided I'm going to homeschool this year, and I'm looking and I'm homeschooling my kindergartner, and I'm getting this book and this book and this book and this book. And there's all these experienced moms say, just slow down. You don't need to do all of that. It's okay. Just start small, build up slowly. And I think people need to hear that. And even experienced moms need to hear that sometimes. Just take a breath. It's okay. So definitely finding people is really important, because the older experienced parents and the veteran homeschoolers are going to be able to give you some really good advice.
One of the things that we hear often is, we hear from parents who have maybe a pediatrician or a speech therapist or someone who's providing services to their family that doesn't really understand homeschooling, or maybe even is hostile towards homeschooling, and is maybe giving them advice that they just feel in their gut is not right for their kid. Have you had any experience with that? And can you give people some suggestions for what to do in that kind of a situation?
My answer is absolutely, I have. We have one doctor in particular who is very hostile, and we see a lot of specialists, but we do have one doctor who has been very hostile about homeschooling, and has been very, even to my kids, very open about her disdain for homeschooling. And I'm not sure where that is coming from. And I've told my kids, there must be some experience that she's had in the past, or she's ignorant about what homeschooling really is. And I think one good thing that's come out of the pandemic so far is that there's a lot more support for homeschooling now than there was before. It's not so weird, I guess, quote unquote, but there still are doctors that are very unsupportive of it. So if you have a doctor or some sort of therapist or counselor, or whatever that you're seeing that's unsupportive, my advice would be either to just not bring it up and see what happens. And sometimes you have those doctors that you just don't tell them everything that you're doing because you don't want to get into an argument about it. But if you do have a doctor that when your kid walks in the room, they're like, okay, now tell me what you learned in school today, blah, 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 you know, that's a problem. And if they're going to not let it go, then I would say have an answer prepared. What you're going to say, you can ask them to, you know, please don't quiz my child. You know, do you quiz public school kids what they learned at school? Probably not. So you can have a response that you have prepared. Something else that I learned from the very beginning when I started homeschooling was to have a binder that has information, like print off. You can go to hslda.org or other websites like that, but HSLDA is the one that I'm familiar with. You can go to their website. They have the state laws, state by state, that show what you have to do to comply with homeschooling. In Oklahoma, where I live, the only regulation we have is that we have to provide 180 days of instruction. That's it. We don't have anything else. But you print it off, and I laminated mine so it wouldn't get gross. Put it in your binder. If you join a co-op, if you join a local support group, the documentation, put all of that in the binder as well. I guess you don't have to have a binder. You could have it all on your phone as well. It doesn't matter, but I'm a paper person. So all of that documentation, maybe if you have a little bit of a portfolio of your kids' work, pictures from field trips, kind of just put it all together in a small binder, and then have that available so that if you do have a hostile person that you encounter on a regular basis that you're afraid that they're going to say something or do something because they don't like that you're homeschooling, take that and just show them, hey, you know, in a casual way, like not like in a defensive way, because if you are always having it feeling like you have to defend yourself, then I think that kind of empowers people to question. But if you just are like, hey, we want to show you what we did on our field trip, that kind of thing, then I think it kind of helps to soften people's hearts towards it. We've had the same thing happen with providers that were hostile towards adoption, actually. And you kind of wonder, why are they hostile towards adoption? And I won't go into that today on this episode, but because of some things that we did and some conversations we had with her, she softened greatly to the point where she actually apologized later on that she had been so rude to us about it. So you just never know whose hearts you're changing with having a gracious answer. Don't argue back, but have some support for yourself. Protect yourself if you do have a provider that's like that. Just be prepared ahead of time what you're going to do. And then for the ones that are, you know, for everyone that you have like that, I guarantee you probably have a provider that's actually supportive as well. So, and we do, we have doctors, we have a speech therapist that is just super supportive that we homeschool and thinks that what we're doing is really making a difference. So you have those people as well, and take heart, you know, but it does get hard when you have to go see a provider that is always has something to say about it, but just prepare yourself and have a gracious answer prepared ahead of time, and it'll work out that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is putting what you're doing in language that they can understand. And coming from an education background, you're probably much better at that than some of us. But a lot of people who are used to the mainstream education model are used to hearing learning presented in a certain way. So even if you're, you know, more of an unschooler, you can kind of talk about what you're doing in a way that's going to make sense to someone. But if they're absolutely not willing to let it go, I think HSLDA is a good resource in that moment too. If you feel like you are in a situation where you're getting over your head and people are questioning you in a way that's making you anxious, they have a great team that can help reassure you.
Yes.
That's a great resource as well. How have you found friendship for yourself and for your kids? How have you nurtured those relationships?
So that's actually, the isolation is not something that our family has experienced personally, just because we are very blessed to be part of a church that has a fair amount of homeschoolers in it. And actually a lot of us go to the same homeschool co-op. I have support, and I've had support since the beginning. It was really nice when we first started, you know, got thrown into accidental homeschooling. I had people I could call that had gone before me, and they gave me a lot of recommendations on what to do. So I've had that, but I would highly recommend, if you are feeling isolated, to find, I mean, like I said before, find those support groups. They are out there. And even if you live in the middle of nowhere in Montana, you can still find those people online and you can do video chats. There are so many people out there that are very supportive. And that is actually when I founded Flamingo Feathers, that's kind of my goal for Flamingo Feathers, is there are lots of resources for special needs homeschooling out there. There's a lot of people who will give you curriculum advice and things like that, you know, and therapy advice. And the mission for Flamingo Feathers is really to provide that encouragement that is missing a lot of times. And because it is hard, it can be hard. Homeschooling is hard, but then you throw in other things and all these curveballs, it can be very difficult. And so there's no reason to be isolated though, because there are a lot of resources out there. It's just a matter of being able to find them. But I would say get involved, join the co-op, like do sports. At least where I live, there's homeschool sports available. My kids take karate with a bunch of other kids and dance class. And, you know, we just have really been blessed to be part of a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of people. We don't spend all of our time around homeschoolers though. We take classes with people who are not homeschoolers. And then in our neighborhood, we have lots of kids that the kids play with. So they're not at all lacking. In fact, I think the idea that homeschoolers are not socialized is actually, maybe that was the case back in the 80s, but now it's almost harder to get homeschool done because there's so many activities available to homeschoolers these days. So look into it. There's a homeschool band and homeschool cheerleading and football and all kinds of stuff available. Look into it. And I think your kids are going to not feel isolated at all. They'll be around a lot of people.
And I would say if you do find yourself in that situation, to pray about what the Lord would have you do. And maybe you are going to be the one to start something if you can't find a class that is right for your child or the activity Absolutely. That you want. Sometimes we have to create those opportunities for our,
That's right.
for our family. Exactly.
Yes.
For those people who might be listening who don't have a child with special needs, but who really are longing for the homeschool community to be a place where all kids can be safe and can be seen for the unique person that God has created them to be. What can we do to make the homeschool space more accessible, more accepting, more of a place where all kids can belong?
So one of the things I think it's important to think of is that there's a difference between acceptance and inclusion. We want our kids to accept people with disabilities and differences, but we also want them to include them, not just be like, okay, well, I'll talk to you at the store, but to actually include them. And so teaching our kids to include people of all abilities. And so that's something that if you are in sports teams or if you are in a co-op, there are lots of probably opportunities to do that. And it starts as something small as, you know, maybe reading books to your kids. So as you homeschool, choose some books that have where they learn about different disabilities, or they read stories about people who were included, people with disabilities. You can do that and teach them that way. When you go to the store, teach them that if you see somebody in a wheelchair, to look them in the eye and to talk to them in the eye, not talk to their caregiver next to them. And that's a really big thing. Even with my son with Down syndrome, he may not be super verbal, but if somebody comes and talks to him, he's going to tell you a story. But there's a difference. And I think he even notices it when somebody comes to talk to him personally and looks him in the eye versus coming and talk to me. Well, what does he think? Well, ask him, you know, he's almost 10 years old. So I think that's a really big thing to teach our kids, is that to look them in the eye, to look people in the eye and talk to them and treat them just like you would treat anybody else. Now that's for people, I think, who have visible disabilities. But there's a lot of people that, you know, that listen to my podcast that are probably listening to your podcast that have kids who maybe it's a learning disability, right? Or auditory processing issues, things like that. And in that case, teaching people to not laugh if somebody says something that they might think is funny. I know that I'm teaching a class at my homeschool co-op, and in that class, there's, I think, 9 kids in that class. We just started this week, so I think there's 9. And in that class, there's a whole range of abilities. There's kids in there that have short-term memory issues. There's kids who have reading difficulties, writing difficulties, all of that in that class. And I have told the students on day one, you know, when somebody gets up to narrate, it's a Charlotte Mason class. So they read and they narrate things. We're never going to laugh if somebody says something. We want them all to feel safe. We want them all to feel like they can participate. And if somebody says something that may seem a little off the wall, or they say they forgot, we're going to just move on. We're not going to laugh at them. We're going to include everybody. So I think there's a lot of different ways to do that. And just teaching our kids to be honoring and giving people the dignity that they deserve, but just teaching people to, you know, teaching our kids not to laugh and to treat everybody, whether they have a walker or a wheelchair, or they have some visible disability, not to stare, just to talk to them and to treat them just the way that they are. And I think my kids get that because they've grown up around that. And I take that for granted a lot of times. But if you have a kid, if you have a family that you don't have any kids with disabilities, I think that's important to teach them that. And to also to purposely put them into situations where they are around people with this different disabilities. One of the things that I love that we have here is we have a dance studio that I don't know if you've seen me post about it ever before, but we have a dance studio here that's wonderful. It's typical dancers and special needs dancers dance side by side. They share a dance floor. They share a stage. And so my kids, I have my son with Down syndrome takes class there, and my neurotypical 14-year-old takes dance class there. And you might have a class with somebody with a walker and somebody who is neurotypical in the same class. And I think that gives them a very good exposure, but not, we don't want just exposure. We want them to live it, right? So that gives them an opportunity to live that as well, live that inclusivity and learning to love people of all abilities. So finding something like that. And like you said earlier, if you don't have something like that, start it. Homeschoolers are the original DIYers. Start it yourself. Find people and help you to start it and get something like that going. If you don't have that environment available to you, make one.
Yes, I love that. And you know, as soon as you start something, there's got to be a handful of other people who are wishing that they had something like that as well that you will, yes, you'll discover. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Do you have any resources, Beth, that you would recommend for someone who would like to learn more about special needs homeschooling?
Well, we talked about HSLDA. They do have some information about special needs homeschooling. You can actually, I believe, call and meet with somebody. They can work with you on that. There's a lot of information there. Facebook is a really great place. There's a lot of special needs homeschooling groups out there. You can find one that or multiple that fits your needs. Flamingo Feathers is, I strive to be a resource, and we're a growing resource, but I would say podcasts. If you like to listen to podcasts, there are so many out there. We live in such an age of just so many resources available to us, but I think that's like the big thing is look for local groups and then look for the podcasts, the websites, the Facebook groups, and definitely go to Flamingo Feathers, and it's flamingo-feathers.com. And in the coming days, I'm hoping to have more and more resources listed on that website as well. Like I said, it's been kind of growing over the last year, but I try to have a lot of resources and people come on to the Flamingo Feathers podcast that can share their information. And but also just searching for, if you just go on Google and you search for Down syndrome homeschooling or FASD homeschooling or whatever, there are so many resources out there that you can find. And so that is my big advice to you is don't just assume that you're alone. You're not, I promise. You're not the only one homeschooling your child, even if your doctor or provider makes you feel like you are. You're not, I promise. And find those people that are like you. But Facebook and Google are going to be your good friends to do that.
That's great. Yes. And we will be sure to link to the podcast and your website and all of that in our show notes as well. Do you have any final words of encouragement you'd like to share with the people that are listening, Beth?
Sure. So I want to just tell you, it is doable. If you are considering homeschooling your child, it is doable. I know it may seem like a daunting task. It may seem like nobody else is doing it, but if you have that feeling that it is not happening, it's not working well in a traditional setting, or if you feel like the Lord is leading you to do this, seek His wisdom and His guidance. And if He's leading you to do it, I promise you, it is doable. There are so many resources, but I will tell you, the days will come. It's not all sunshine and sunflowers all the time. There are hard days, and we've had many hard days in our family. And prepare yourself ahead of time. Just acknowledge that that's going to happen ahead of time and prepare yourself for it so that you don't throw in the towel when it does happen. But the rewards are so much greater than the trials. I will tell you, there is nothing better than seeing your child learn to read, the rewards of struggling for months to learn a concept, and then all of a sudden they get it. There is no greater reward. And that goes for typical homeschooling, and even more so, I think it's magnified when you're homeschooling a child who's struggling. So our verse that has been our family verse, and actually it's the verse for our homeschool co-op this year as well. It's Galatians 6:9, and I wanted to share it. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in the due time, we will reap a harvest if we do not grow weary or give up. And so that would be my encouragement, is just, if this is what the Lord is leading you to do, don't give up. You will see a harvest, and it will be so worth it. And don't let those hard days discourage you.
Thank you so much, Beth, for sharing that encouragement with us. Be sure to go to flamingo-feathers.com to connect more with Beth and check out her Flamingo Feathers podcast in whatever app you're listening on. For show notes and links to some of our favorite resources for special needs homeschooling, you can head to homeschoolcompass.com/podcast. I'm so grateful for homeschoolers like Beth who've persevered through the hard seasons and are willing to share their wisdom with us. If this episode was a blessing to you, would you do 3 things? Number 1, would you make sure you're subscribed or following us in whatever app you're listening on? Number 2, would you head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a quick star rating and a review? That means so much to us and helps us connect with new listeners. And number 3, would you share this episode with a friend who could use some encouragement in their homeschool life? I'd be so grateful. I can't wait to share another episode with you next month. And until then, know that you are loved and you are not alone.